The title of the sermon today is Claim Your Call. Claim Your Call. And Romans 8, verse 28, one of my favorite passage, passages, a passage that most people know, you know, most of you know. It says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And it says, who have been called according to his purpose. Who have been called according to his purpose. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you are chosen, you are gifted, you are enabled, you're set apart, you are empowered. And, you know, we're chosen, gifted, enabled, set apart, empowered to do what? It is to fulfill God's calling for our life. It is to fulfill God's calling for our life. And that's why I titled it, Claim Your Call. Claim Your Call. You know, human thinking, when it comes to God's calling, is this is the human thinking. You know, we look at the famous, we look at the popular Christians, and we say to ourselves, they must be fulfilling God's call for their life. You know, we look at other Christians that's impacting many people. You know, if they're impacting thousands and millions of people, they're fulfilling God's call for their life. But if they're impacting just few people, they're not really fulfilling God's call for their life. That's human thinking. That's human thinking. Or we look at how happy they are, you know, how it seems like they're not struggling. It seems like everything comes easy to them. There is success in, you know, whatever they do. And then we see this and say to ourselves, they must be walking out their God's calling. But I wanna share, say that God's calling, based on my personal experience, is not based on popularity, how famous you are, how big the ministry, or how many people are in your ministry, or even how happy and smooth your life is. That's not, you know, that's human thinking, in my opinion. You know, so I would just want to go through what I think is important principle to remember about God's calling, okay? The important principle to remember about God's calling. And I have 2 points. Number one. God's calling is his mercy. God's calling is God's mercy. Okay, I want you to say that. You know, God calling is God's mercy. Okay? And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy, it says here, through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we have this calling, so that we do not lose heart. It is not performance, it's not pressure, it's not popularity, but in this passage it says it's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. And because of God's mercy, we do not lose heart. Huh? If it's based on other stuff, you know, I found out, and you know, what I learned is I lose heart. But when I keep coming back to the mercy of God, I do not lose heart. You know, what am I trying to say? Calling is God's mercy. Okay? Your first call, my first call, is that God draws me to himself. Okay? God draws me to himself. God draws you to himself. It is a call. First call is a call to salvation. Jesus came to call sinners, pay the price and penalty for my sin. He invites you. Because of that, right, we're called, and he invites us. He calls us to a relationship with him. And when it comes to God's calling, a lot of us feel we're not good enough, know enough, ready enough. I don't know. I feel this way sometimes. And I believe a lot of people feel this way. We compare ourselves to others. We don't believe in ourselves. No, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 says this. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called, okay? When you were called, okay, think of what you were. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. God doesn't call the most talented, most prepared, most ready. God's call is first, is His mercy. It's a mercy of God. The call on our life is a mercy of God. God doesn't call the prepared, but God prepares those He calls. I thought that was pretty good. I gotta say that again. Okay? God doesn't call the prepared, but God prepares those who are called. Okay, are called. One way God works out His call in my life, you know, God doesn't work that hard. I'm just speaking honestly. God doesn't work that hard in my life so that I would be famous. Okay? God doesn't work in me that hard so that I'll be popular or for me to have a big ministry. But time and time again, okay, He works very hard in me so that I know and I understand and I receive His mercy. That I receive His mercy. If God's calling is based on how much I deserve or because how much I feel I earned it, you know, I wouldn't, you know, I'll be in big trouble. But, you know, I would have gave up long, long time ago. It is His mercy that helps me to overcome discouragement as I try to walk out His calling for my life. It is His mercy that inspires me not to give up. It is His mercy that heals me. It is His mercy that comforts me, that strengthens me, that empowers me. God doesn't use you because you are perfect, you know? God uses imperfect people. God uses imperfect people because He is merciful. He is merciful. If you don't know the mercy of God, you know, we will try to fulfill our calling, the ministry. We serve others. We try to fulfill the Great Commission out of brokenness then, not the mercy of God. It's out of people's approval and not the mercy of God. It's out of worldly riches and fame. It is out of to prove to other people. We try to fulfill our call with weak things then, not the mercy of God. Then it will be out of guilt. It will be out of pressure. It will be out of pleasing people. It will be out of insecurity. It will be out of pride. It will be out of competition. That's why you won't last that long. Yeah. But if it's out of mercy of God, we can overcome the discouragement, the difficulty that's there in walking out the calling of God. You know, I don't have to prove my worth when I receive God's mercy. You know, a workaholic, you know, they work very hard. They work too much trying to prove their worth through their work. If you receive God's mercy, your work doesn't have anything to do with your worth. Your worth is in the fact that you are a child of God, that God loves me perfectly as my Heavenly Father. Your value is not in what you do, but who you are in Christ. God loves me and He shows me mercy. I don't have to prove my worth to anyone. You know, maybe somebody don't like me. It's okay, because God loves me. You know, because God sees His truth. God says, I am worth, and you are worth His sacrifice, His love, His life. You know, I don't have to be stuck in my mistake when I receive God's mercy. One thing that stops us from ministry is our past mistakes. I hear this all the time. Pastor, you don't know my past. You don't know the things that I have done. When you know that you're called by God's mercy, it doesn't matter. See, Apostle Paul was the most feared person in the Christian world. Paul's goal was to put all the Christians in prison and execute them. Paul had a terrible past, and God had mercy on Paul. That's why he writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy." I was shown mercy. If God only used perfect people, then no one can be used. Right? You look at the, that's why, you know, God is so honest about people in the Bible. Abraham was old and was used very late in his life. Jacob was a liar. Gideon was poor. He says he was the least out of his whole tribe. Rahab, you know, was a prostitute, but she was written about in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11. Elijah wanted to die. Okay. Jeremiah was a chronic, you know, he was in depression. That's why they call him the weeping prophet. David had an affair and committed murder. Peter was compulsive and he had anger problems. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Moses and Apostle Paul were guilty of murder. Every disciple of Jesus has past failures. But in God, every sinner has a future in God. That's the mercy of God. Every sinner has a future. No matter how much you messed up, God wants to use you. And you know that to be true when you know that you're called to God's mercy. Amen. Point number two. Calling is a service. Okay, can you proclaim that? Calling is a service. You know, we think calling has to be dramatic, earth-shattering, huge, spectacular, extraordinary, you know? Calling. To me, God's calling is very simple. It is a call to serve. Okay? It's a call to serve. You know, but again, you got to first understand the mercy of God. Right? You're called to the mercy of God, and then you're called to serve. But service, we don't have to think too, it's not that complicated. What is service? It is going outside of yourself. That's it. It's just going outside of yourself, because everything around us, every commercial, the world, our flesh, the devil keeps telling us, no, just focus on yourself. And what service does is just going outside of yourself. It is using whatever you have to help someone else. It doesn't have to be multitude, just one person. You can just help one person. And you are fulfilling God's call. It can be simple as when you give a cup of water to someone who is thirsty. You know what Jesus said about that? If you do that, you are doing unto me. That's what Jesus said. It can be giving your ear to listen to someone who is hurting. I can fulfill God's calling. It isn't once I go through seminary, when I am more prepared, more trained, I read more books, attend more conferences. I can fulfill God's calling. You know, we say, you know, this is the human thinking. I can fulfill God's calling when it is the right time, when I have more time, when I am in the right place, when my life is more stable, when I feel better, when I'm more financially secure, once the pandemic is over, once the country is more stable, once there's more justice. No, when it comes to God's calling, it is important to believe right now, believe that God placed you where you are for a purpose right now, in the time such as this. If you believe, say you're an accountant, and this is what your mindset, this is your belief system. All I'm doing is just filling out numbers. I'm just adding and, multiplying and subtracting. I'm just filling out number. That's all I'm doing on a spreadsheet. So I can't fulfill God's calling as an accountant. Not now, but so you're thinking, but I want to fulfill God's call. It's going to happen once I retire. Once I retire, I'm going to fulfill God's call. You need to believe that God has a purpose. If you're an accountant, that God has a purpose for you now. And your work as a service to others, not just filling out numbers. You need to see what you're doing is helping people. If you believe God placed me here for a reason, for a purpose, I'm helping people, guess what? You're fulfilling God's calling. If you're a truck driver, if you believe this is the most boring job, this is a meaningless job, then you're not fulfilling God's purpose, God's calling for your life. But you have this faith and you believe God placed me here for a reason. I'm going to believe that. God placed me here for a reason, for a time such as this. And you start seeing I'm helping people, I'm serving others, I'm bringing needed things to them. You are fulfilling God's calling. Calling is when you believe God has a place, God has a place for you, has a purpose for you right now. You can work at McDonald's if you believe God is going to use you there. That job becomes a ministry. It becomes God's calling in your life. Whatever you're doing, when it becomes more than yourself, you're fulfilling God's call. I'm going to say that again. Whatever you're doing, when it becomes more than yourself, you fulfill God's call. When you believe you are called by God, you're saying, it's not about me. And you go outside of yourself. You made what you're doing bigger than yourself. God didn't create you to live for yourself. To live for yourself is very depressing. It's not that great. You're created to make a contribution in your life. And so this truth helps me, as a pastor. I go, it's not about me. I say that all the time. It's not about me. When I get criticized, I say, it's not about me. When I get praised too, I say, it's not about me. Someone gets angry at me, it's not about me. I'm speaking in front of hundreds of people. It's not about me. God calls us to be a light. Okay? Matthew 5 says, you are the light of the world, Okay? This is how God sees you. And one thing that you notice about light, it continuously move outward. It doesn't stop. It continuously move outward. Here on Earth, we are able to see a light that has been traveling for 13 billion years. Can you believe that? 13 billion years. Light never stops. It continues outward, continues outward. You're the light of the world. One of the most, I believe, important role that God gave me for this church is to have catalysts go more and more outward. And the great danger that we have as a church and all the church in the midst of the pandemic, it is making the church go inward, more and more inward. It's by going outward, our church becomes more healthy. I am convinced of that. If by going outward that our church becomes more healthy, if we go inward as a church, we'll become more unhealthy. Why? Because when we go outward, there's things that God will do in us. As we go more outward as a church, we have to love more. That's definite. We have to love more. We have to love each other more. We have to love our city more. We have to learn how to minister to our city more. We get better at sharing the gospel. We get better at evangelism. We have to get better. We have to see more people come to Christ. More people in our church has to rise up. Rise up in leadership. There needs to be more mentors and more disciplers and more teachers, more pastors, more prophets. More we go outward, more we have to work together. More we go outward, more we have to trust God. We have to depend on God. But if we focus outward, we'll continuously grow spiritually mature, grow in relationship with God and with one another and with the people of the city. We'll grow in authority and power. We'll see more transformation in individuals, families, church, community, and it says nations, but you know what? We're the light of the world to other nations. And God's people said, amen. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit that His light will shine. He will release His light in us so that His light will spread. And it will come outside of ourselves and go outward. Ask the Holy Spirit that this life that we live will not be about ourselves. It will not be about me. But my life will be dedicated, that it will be about God. That it will be more about more than myself. I don't know how many of you remember, but this is a communion Sunday. So, you know, if you didn't, please, whatever, there's some grace during this pandemic, you know, it doesn't have to be grape juice or wine or even, you know, whatever you could get, you know, please, God is, again, what it represents right now is the most important thing, what the communion represents. Let's prepare the communion. Our first call is to God's mercy, that God draws me to Himself, that God calls me to His salvation, to His eternal life, to His forgiveness, to His unconditional love. To His cleansing, redemption, reconciliation. To His new life. And that's what the communion represents. And the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and He gave thanks. And He told His disciple, "Eat this in remembrance of me." And likewise, He took the cup. He says, "This is a new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." All right, before we take the communion together, remember that you're called to God's mercy. Remember that you're called to God's mercy. When you take this, that's what you're saying. I'm going to remember his mercy, that he's calling me to himself. Great. The body of Jesus Christ broken for you. The blood of Jesus shed for you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Just worship the Lord from your heart. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. What is one area that the Holy Spirit is asking you to go outside of yourself? More you go to yourself, you see that you're getting more angry, more hopeless, more depressed. The Lord wants to release life in that area. Where is he asking you to go outside of yourself and just say yes to him, whatever the Holy Spirit is pointing out. Say yes, and there will be life. His life will touch that area. Go outside of yourself. Receive the mercy of God in that area. Now I want to challenge you, just again, one person maybe, you know, that you could serve this week. That's all, one person. Again, it doesn't have to be so dramatic. It doesn't have to be so spectacular or extraordinary. Just ask Holy Spirit, you know, I need to do this because, again, everything around me, you know, is making me be selfish. It's making me self-focused and be self-righteous. I want to stop. And the way I'm going to do it, one person, Lord, put them in my heart, how I could serve them. How I could serve this person. The Heavenly Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit release this truth that you are called to God's mercy and you're called to serve. And God's people said, Amen.